Now let's continue on. Let's see how this is going to work with the banks. They will need no reserve of money at all. It will all become digital. So when they need more money, they just have a nice committee that says, well, we authorize the head of world digital money to increase the money supply. They won't have to worry even about printing it. You know, just put in any number you want. Well, what do you think is going to happen then? All right. Let's come back here to Isaiah 47. Let's see something very interesting back here. Isaiah 47, because we'll see that this ties in with the book of Revelation as well. See, Isaiah 47. Now, this talks about the big Babylon and the Roman Catholic Church all combined together here. Okay? Because you see, how many have read the book The Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop? Yes. If you haven't read that, you don't know anything. Not to put you down, but to say there's so much missing in history that if you don't understand what that is, you have no clue as to what's going to happen in the end times. Because instead of just having Babylon to one country, now the whole world becomes Babylon. And it's all patterned after the city of Babylon. So when people read about the city, which we will a little later on here in Revelation, people think, well, it's just a city. No, it's the whole world, patterned after the city. Now, verse 1, Isaiah 47. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Now, that is a cynical remark by God, because she's anything but a virgin. Sit on the ground. There is no throne for you, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for you shall no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstone and grind meal. Pull back your veil. Draw up your skirt. Uncover your leg. Pass over the rivers. Your nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, your shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet you as a man. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Sit silent and go into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for you shall no more be called the Lady of Kingdoms. Interesting, isn't it? Now you know why in the long form of the tribute to William Tyndale, I quote the popes. They would sit and marvel about all the power they had. They could raise up emperors, they could put them down, they could cause wars, they could persecute whoever they want. Oh yes, and Pope Francis came and asked for forgiveness for killing the Waldensians because they kept the Sabbath. No. Lady of Kingdoms, why does the Vatican have diplomatic relations with all the nations on earth? Even Iran. Amazing, isn't it? I was angry with my people. I have polluted my inheritance. I gave them into your hand. You showed them no mercy. You have very heavily laid your yoke upon the aged. And you said, I shall be a lady forever, so that you did not lay these things to your heart, nor did you remember the latter end of it. Now then hear this, O lover of pleasures, who sits securely, who says in her heart, I am, and none else beside me. I shall not be a widow, nor shall I know the loss of children. What do you know about that? They're all coming home, aren't they? Yes, indeed. But these two things shall come upon you in a moment, in one day, the loss of children and widowhood. And they shall come upon you in the fullness, in their fullness, for the multitude of your sorceries, and for the great abundance of your enchantments. For you've trusted in your wickedness. You have said, no one sees me. Your wisdom and your knowledge have perverted you. And you have said in your heart, I am, and there is none else. There is no one else. Okay? But evil shall come upon you. You shall not know how to conjure it away. And calamity shall fall upon you, and you shall not be able to put it off. And desolation shall come upon you suddenly before you know it. Stand now with your enchantments, and with the multitude of your sorceries, in which you have wearied yourself since your youth. Perhaps you will be able to profit. Perhaps you may prevail. But you are exhausted by the multitude of your counsels. And let the astrologers and the stargazers and the monthly prognosticators stand up and save you from all these things that shall come upon you. But they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them, and they shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame, and there shall not be a coal to warm them, nor fire to sit before it. Thus shall they be to you with whom you have labored, even your merchants from your youth. Each one shall wander to his own quarter, and none shall save you. All right? Come here to Revelation 17. Again. Yes, they're going to get their worldwide system. They're going to have everything the way that they want it. God is going to put it in their hearts to do it. Okay? Let's come here to verse 17, chapter 17 first. Okay? For God has put it in their hearts to do His will. Now, God's will is either blessing or cursing, correct? What they are going to do will look like a blessing, like everything that Satan does. There's a benefit, but it will be a curse. And to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of the Lord have been fulfilled. Okay? Now, they are going to destroy the woman. All right? Come over here to chapter 18. Let's see the fulfillment of Isaiah 47. And after these things, I saw an angel descending from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried out with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. And has become a habitation of demons and the prison of every unclean spirit and the prison of every unclean and hated bird. Because all nations have drunk of the wine of the fury of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the power of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, so that you do not take part in her sins, and that you do not receive her plagues. For her sins have reached as far as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquity. Render to her as she is rendered to you. Give to her double, even according to her works. And the cup that she has mixed, give her back double. To the degree that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, give to her as much torment and sorrows, for she says in her heart, I sit a queen enthroned and not a widow, and in no way shall I experience sorrow. Direct fulfillment of Isaiah 47. Okay? Therefore, these things are going to come upon her. Everything is going to come apart. Everything is going to collapse. Now let's see how they think about it. Come back here to Ezekiel, the 20th chapter. Now this is how Israel looked at it. But also, let's apply this to the world. Ezekiel 22. Now, I've covered part of this before, but it's good to repeat it so we understand it. Okay? Now, we can apply it to Israel that's happening right now before they go into captivity. Now, we don't know how all that's going to work out, but every prophecy is going to be fulfilled to the maximum. So here's what's happening today and why we are going to collapse. Who do you think is going to stand in the breach and say, we must outlaw all abortion? That's what it's going to take to try and stop it. Nothing else will do. God will not put up with it. In the sermon I just gave, Jeremiah was told in Jeremiah 19, he says, go get the elders of Judah and get the elders of the priests and take this jar and go out to the valley of Hinnom, to the place of Tophet. That's where they offered the children in sacrifice. God says, tell them that what you do here and the burning of your sons and daughters in the fire, this never even came into my mind. And you tell them, thus says the Lord, because of this, you take that jar and you strike it with the rod and break it into smithereens and tell them, this is what I'm going to do to Jerusalem and Judah because you do this abominable thing. And he did. And he said also because of the sins of Manasseh. Okay? So here's how they look at it. Here's how the people look at it. These are the political people, the religious people, and those who go along with it, all combined here in Israel. Okay? But we can also apply it to the world as well after reading the book of Revelation there. Okay? Verse 17. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, the house of Israel has become dross to me. All of them are bronze and tin and iron and lead in the middle of the furnace. They are even the dross of silver. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have all become dross, therefore I will gather you into the middle of Jerusalem. And of course, where's Armageddon going to take place? All the nations of the world gather, right outside of Jerusalem. As they gathered silver, bronze, and iron, and lead, and tin into the middle of the furnace to blow fire on it, to melt it, so I will gather you in my anger and in my fury, and I will cast you in and melt you. Read what he did to Jerusalem. And I will gather you and blow on you with the fire of my wrath, and you shall be melted in the midst of it. As silver is melted in the furnace, so shall you be melted in the midst of it, and you shall know that I, the Lord, have poured out my fury upon you. Kind of seems like we're getting, what, a pre-advance of this? It's almost since the day that they declared same-sex marriage, something has happened of a major proportion every week. Well, that just sounds a lot like it, doesn't it? Huh? Yes. God will do it. He will use people to do it. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, say to her, you are a land that is not cleansed nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst, like a roaring lion tearing the prey. They have devoured souls, they have taken away the treasure and precious things, and they have made many widows in her midst. Okay? All the different prophets, those who prophesy peace, those who prophesy prosperity, those who say how good everything is going to be, whether they're religious or secular. Okay? Here's the cause, always the cause. Her priests have done violence to my law and have profaned my holy things. Yeah, they tell God, well, we don't want your laws. We know better, God. You're only perfect, you're only righteous, but we're better than you are. They put no difference between the holy and profane. They have not taught the difference between the unclean and the clean. They have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. So all the religious leaders, now I've got a report here, very interesting. You know why this same-sex thing, marriage went down so easily? Because the Episcopalians, the Presbyterians, and the Methodists have all previously endorsed it. Who is there to say no? The Catholics couldn't stand up and say no, though they might whimper a little bit, because sodomy is rampant throughout all of their priesthood. That's why they hate the Sabbath. That's why they hate the holy days. That's why they hate the laws of God, because they're in rebellion against God. Now notice the rulers. Quite an amazing thing happened just yesterday. Senator Ted Cruz got up in the Senate and called McConnell a liar 3 or 4 times in the same speech because he lied. Because he says he's going to stand for the people, but he's in cahoots with the president. See? Notice. Her rulers in her midst are like lies, like wolves tearing the prey to shed blood and destroy souls to get unjust gain. And her prophets cover themselves with whitewash, seeing false visions and divining lies to them, saying, thus says the Lord God when the Lord is not spoken. Doesn't stop there. The people of the land. So you've got the religious leaders, the political leaders, and the people. There it is. Look at all the crime. Look at all the drugs. Look at all the things that where they're going against the laws of God, destroying themselves, destroying their families, destroying their children, destroying the communities. There are areas that people don't even dare to go into in the major cities of America. I don't know if you saw it on the news. One of the supposed candidates for the Democrat nomination for president, O'Malley, he went to a black rally and he said, all lives matter. White lives and black lives. And he got booed. And he was such a spineless coward, he apologized. I mean, talk about everything upside down. People of the land, okay, have used oppression, committed robbery, have troubled the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. I sought for a man among them who should build up a wall for the land and stand in the breach before me so that I should not destroy it. But I did not find one. And if there is one who could do it, he's going to be run out of town. Therefore, I poured out my fury on them, and I have burned them up with the fire of my wrath. I have recompensed their own way upon their heads, says the Lord. Quite a thing. Amazing, isn't it? Yes, indeed. God is, these things are something. Come back here to Ezekiel 11. Remember what Jesus said? These are the beginning of sorrows. Yes. And then it's going to end what? In the worst time there has ever been. And we can know for sure how many people in the world are going to be able to stand up against any of this to withstand. I mean, just in their own minds. That's why we need the Spirit of God and the Word of God so we know. Okay? Now then, Chapter 11, Spirit of the Lord lifted me up and brought me into the eastern gate of the Lord's house. That's how you're to enter in before God. See? And behold, 25 men were at the opening of the gate. Among them, then he lists all of them. Okay? And he said to me, son of man, these are the men who plot evil and give wicked advice to this city. It's exactly what's happening. Look at some of the stupid advice that comes along. Plotting evil. Who say, the time is not near to build houses. The city is the cauldron, and we are the flesh. Sound a little bit like chapter 22? Yes. Therefore, prophesy against him, prophesy, O son of man. Okay? And the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me and said, speak. Thus says the Lord, thus you have said, O house of Israel, for I myself know the things that come into your mind, every one of them. I wonder what God thinks when he looks down on this earth. Remember what it was, what Jesus said, is the days of Noah, is the days of Lot? It was so bad, God was grieved that he made man for all of their terrible evil. What does he think with everything going on now? Huh? I've got another article which says people are nearly possessed by their computers or their iPhones or whatever, you know? They can't go a minute without it. You see people walking around all the time with their heads down, and they're doing all of this, you know? Now, that can serve a good purpose. But so many of them are hooked on it, and look at all of the sin that goes on. Look at the lying and cheating and fornication and sexting and all of this that goes on with those devices. And now Google knows everything about everybody where they are. Amazing. Okay? I myself know the things that come into your mind, every one of them. Now that's why God looks down on the earth and he sees us. See? We have the Spirit of God. We have the Bible. We have the things we know we need to do. And God wants us to do them. See? But for them, verse 6, you have multiplied your slain in this city. You have filled its streets with the slain. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, your slain whom you have laid in her midst, they are the flesh, and this city is the cauldron, but I will bring you out of her midst. You have feared the sword, I will bring the sword upon you, says the Lord. I will bring you out of her midst and deliver you into the hands of strangers and will execute judgments upon you. Look at what we're doing today, bringing in more and more and more and more strangers, those who hate us, those who want to kill us, those who despise us. Well, why do we do that? Well, because of killing nearly 60 million innocent lives, the most defenseless. And then people get all angry and say, why does God do this? Well, says it right here. Execute judgments among you. Now, verse 10, you shall fall by the sword. I shall judge you unto the border of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. This city shall not be your cauldron, nor shall you be the flesh in her midst, but I will judge you unto the border of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, for you have not walked in my statutes, nor have you executed my ordinances, but you have done the customs of the nations all around you. Now, chapter 13. Let's look at it again here. Here again, it comes to the religionist. Do they have the Bible? Do they have the means to teach it? But they have hidden their eyes. They don't want to read the Old Testament. They don't want to read the prophecies. They don't want to keep the Sabbath. And they come to God and have all of their religious things and say, God, we're doing this because we want your blessing on it. Will God ever bless a cursing? Okay, verse 1. Where the Lord came to me saying, you want to know what God would say? Here it is right here. You know, like one man, I was watching the thing about the Holocaust and what they were doing at Auschwitz. And here all these Jews are herded in there. Terrible, awful things that went on. And one man who was a Jew, he cried out to God, God, come down and stop all of this. God didn't do a thing. So what did he say? There is no God. And now you can understand why there are more atheists among the Jews than any other people. See? Sad thing. But when they had the word of God, when Christ came, how many warnings did Christ give them? How many warnings did the apostles give them? How many things did God do to warn them? what was going to happen. Did they turn to God? Oh, yes, some of them did, but not very many. You know, it's quite a thing that they didn't learn with the destruction of Jerusalem in 586, 585 B.C. Then comes 66 to 70 A.D., repeat performance, only worse. Ah, they didn't come to God the way that they should have. Okay, so God says here, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who prophesy and say to those who prophesy out of their own hearts. Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, woe to the foolish people who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, your prophets are like foxes in the ruins. Okay? Then he goes on to say, you've seen a vain vision. You spoke in vanity and lies against the Lord. You say, peace, peace, and cover it with whitewash. You know, you can make something look really good if you cover it with whitewash, but it's still what it is. And then God says it's all coming down. All right, come over here to Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51, okay? Now then, after all of these terrible things come to the climax and it's over with, then God is going to usher in the kingdom of God, and we are going to be part of that, brethren. So though we have to face all these things, and it's very depressing, you know, but we have to also realize that God subjected all of this in hope, and that hope is us. So it says here, Isaiah 51, verse 1, hearken unto me, you who follow after righteousness. That's us. You who seek the Lord, look to the rock from which you were cut, which is Christ, and the hole of the pit from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father. We're the spiritual seed of Abraham, are we not? And to Sarah, who bore you. For I called him alone and blessed him and made him many. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden, her deserts like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found in it, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. So God is going to turn it all around. So when you see all of these things coming down and how bad they are, remember the second resurrection. Remember that most of those who will be in the second resurrection will be children and infants. God is not going to give Satan the devil one victory with any abortion. He's going to raise them all back to life, probably to being a full-term baby, and there'll be plenty of people there to take care of them, and even their own mothers. Or they'll be raised, and we will know where the mother is, and we'll take the child and say, here is the baby that you cried over after your abortion. Now, take care of it. God is in charge. Hearken to me, my people, and give ear to me, O my nation, for instruction shall proceed from me, and I will make my justice as a light to the people, and that will be us. My righteousness is near, my salvation has gone out, and my arm shall judge the people, and the isle shall wait upon me, and on my arm they shall trust. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall become like an old like a garment, and its inhabitants will die in the same way. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. That's what God is going to do. Okay, Isaiah 52. And verse 6. Therefore my people shall know my name. Thus it shall be in that day, for I am he who speaks, behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good tidings. And aren't we going to be doing that? Yes, indeed. Who publishes peace, who brings good news, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. No more these dictators. No more of these wars and armies and sinfulness. Satan is gone. He is removed. He is put away. The voice of your watchmen shall be lifted up. They shall lift up the voice together. They shall sing aloud, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord returns again to Zion. Break out, sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. Now, let's come to Psalm 91. Here is the survival psalm. Okay? Psalm 91. I know I talked to a woman some time ago, and she said that I read Psalm 91 every day so that I can have the hope and strength to get through all of the difficulties that come along. So in closing, let's read Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. That's us. We do. We have God's Spirit. World can't see it, doesn't know it. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There will be protection there. No one can see a shadow. I mean, you can look out, you can see the effect of the shadow, but you can't see the shadow. Likewise with us. God will watch over us. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. That's why it's so important for us to draw closer to God every day. Don't be in despair because these things are happening and going on. That is not to say that we should be joyous with all the calamities going on, but that is to say that we keep our minds on the hope. Surely he will deliver you from the fowler's trap and from the destroying pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. What did Jesus say to Jerusalem? Just before he was crucified, he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets, how often have I wanted to take you under my wings as a mother hen takes her chicks under her wings, but you refuse. Okay, but not us. We are the church. We're the people of God. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Now, buckler is that in which you rely upon. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the plague that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction laying waste at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes you shall behold and see the recompense of the wicked. And we will, won't we? On sea of glass, we're going to see it. We're going to see the 7 last plagues poured out. Because, now notice the difference of what we read, why God brought all of these things upon the people because of their sins. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, this is David speaking, even the Most High, your habitation. No evil shall befall you, and even if it does, we're gone. Nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. God will bless us and watch over us. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Boy, and look back and think of the times that God has intervened and saved you, and the only thing you can say is, you know, God had to have an angel there to watch over you and protect you from it. See? I can look back on the times that I've experienced that. Okay? You shall tread upon the lion and the asp and the young lion and the jackal. you shall trample underfoot. Those are symbols of all evil. We're going to put it down. Because, notice verse 9, because, verse 14, because he has set his love upon me. That's why we're to love God with all our heart and all our soul and being. Therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. How about eternal life? I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. So when we look at the things going on, know this, we're going to be a part of ending it all. So don't let the things get you down. God is there. He'll help you. He'll bless you. And if whatever time comes that it's going to be otherwise, God has the resurrection to cure everything. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.